For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Yeah, you're in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atatula hanging out with you on a thirsty Thursday here in H-Town. This offense for the Houston Texans has been much discussed. Obviously, whether it was the offensive line, whether you'd be able to pass block or even run block in various instances, the switch that ultimately got made on Sunday that saw Jarrett Patterson take over the role at center, Juice Scruggs moved to left guard, and that operation. Or even, you know, being able to field, maybe do you need to trade a wide for a wide receiver, various wide receivers being hurt. All sorts of conversation around this offense and Bobby Slowick. But I kind of wanted to get the perspective of the general manager as he was on Texas All Access with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They asked fantastic questions of him. And this is the space where we have an opportunity to hear from him. And so he talked he talked about the offense a little bit in various capacities. And so I wanted to run through some of those things. Like where he just kind of talked about some of the negative portions of the offense and I guess what needs to be done to get it back on track.
It's just going to be about just each play is going to take on, you know, significance in the course of a game and just trying to string together positive plays. We just got to eliminate some of the negative plays. John and I talked about this before the game, kind of the first down production. You know, when it was good, it was good. And when it was behind the sticks, we ended up in some longer yardage situations. So we always want to try to stay ahead and say, even look at Detroit, it's kind of going back to the defense as well. Like we had some production on first down to kind of put them in some less advantageous situations for their offense. So it's just going to be about just consistent performance, trying to have positive plays, and trying to have good production on first down, eliminate the negative plays, and then the turnovers, you know, you want to try to eliminate those. I mean, if you don't do anything, the percentage is usually pretty good. If you have no turnovers and you take care of the football, usually correlates to winning. So things are fixable, so we just got to try to make the improvements here as we go.
Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? That when I heard that, I'm like, usually Nick, with those guys, as you pointed out, is pretty, almost more candid than he is with anyone. You know, he's really good with Sean and Seth, but it's just a different feel.
That's just a little bit more periodic. He's not doing that weekly. Although I'm sure that would be fantastic. I don't know. It's like, do you think that he can handle Sean and Seth every week?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, but what I'm getting at here is like, yeah, we just need to be more productive on first down. Yes, we know that. You know, and it hasn't happened in a long time. So, yes, they're fixable. That's kind of the D'Amico story. You know, these are all things that we can fix. Yes, we know that, and we're in week 11. So I wouldn't necessarily expect him to say much else, but I think it's sort of just kind of like a superficial, let's just do this, you know?
I don't know how much else.
Sure, let's do that.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I don't know that how much I would say that it's superficial. I think that it's right. It's just that's easier said than done, right? Like the word that he said there that really, really popped up for me because also it's a word that Ndi Kalu used not more than 30 minutes ago with us, which is consistency. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like. One of the things that the Texans really need to find within themselves, some consistency. And the place that I go to is offensive line and just kind of generally blocking because it feels like when you think about run plays with this team, or I know one of the plays that I'm thinking about immediately is like the end around reverse that you saw that Tank Dell got smothered in the backfield. It was just one of those blocks that ends up being missed. Yeah. And it's like, it feels like that the consistency of if everybody gets their hat on the hat or like if everybody executes There's the buzzword. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Where's the bell for me? Right here. Yeah. There we go. Right. If everybody executes, then you can get this done. Like, it's drawn up well. But it feels like very frequently there's one person or another not getting to that place. And that's where you lose a level of execution. Also, execution in another way of just like, hey, if you, like, as you said, hit on first down, if you don't end up putting yourself in these long third downs, you don't have to consistently depend on CJ Stroud's individual brilliance to get you over.
Yeah.
But it seems like that has been the ask. And I don't know how much you can ask for consistency in just third and long, converting third and long.
Yeah. And again, you know, to reiterate, I don't know what else, you know, we could have expected him to say there. All I'm saying is, you know, their hands are tied at this point. These are the guys that they have to play.
Right.
So, but, you know, this is it.
So then where do you find consistency if it's just like, hey, you're not going to, you know, the consistency
in
play
for a long
hasn't
time.
Been there. It feels like this is why the Bobby Slowick thing comes up. And I don't know. I feel like I want to examine this further just because there's some people that are frustrated with, like, the Bobby Slowick talk, because it's like, hey, it's clearly your offensive line has not been to a certain level and those types of things. And it feels like, I don't know, the thing that I keep coming back to is, yes, that's the case, but that's something that you know.
Yeah.
That's something that you know that you're dealing with. And so now what are you going to do about it with Bobby Slowick? And it feels like the answer has been, we'll just be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like that's running into a wall.
Well, it is. We've heard it too much. But again, you know, what else can they say? They can't get a new offensive line or even one, you know, a new offensive lineman other than practice squad. Bobby Slowick, I don't think anyone expects, you know, the play calling to change. Maybe it will, but I don't think anybody expects it. So it's like, we just got to be better. Okay. It's week 11.
It is week 11. You're heading into Dallas. This is Nick Caserio again on Texans All Access. He was asked about kind of the shuffling of the offensive line and the new look five.
Yeah, those guys did a good job, and I think we've talked those inside positions. Sometimes you have guys that are just guards, sometimes you have guys that are just centers, and then you have guys that potentially could play all three spots. So I think in the case of Juice and JP, they can kind of swing back and forth. So we felt that was the best opportunity for us or made the most sense. So we'll kind of see how it is moving forward. Still have some guys in a bullpen here that if they had to go in there and play, could play. Made some acquisitions over the course of the last week or two, and maybe there's some players that potentially put themselves in position to have an opportunity. But overall, the communication was pretty solid. Pass protection was pretty clean for the most part. I mean, they got us a few times. We had a couple missed assignments, things that are very fixable. But overall, I mean, those guys are smart guys that went in there and gave us a chance to kind of operate cleanly and operate the offense.
The bullpen, he's talking about those practice squad guys. That's where they are.
Some of those guys that were added?
Yeah.
No, I tend to agree with him that, like, yo, this five feels like one of the better iterations. But let's evaluate what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. It did feel like they were able to at least get the communication. One of those conversations that popped up during the course of the last few weeks with this offensive line when we were really pulling our hair out about it. Communication was one of those things. It does feel like Jared Patterson at center was a good move, and that level of comfort in getting the pass protections together feels like a good one. That's going to be tested this week, mind you, in some ways, by Micah Parsons in particular, even though I don't know that they have a lot of the other guys that are typically there that apply pressure, rushing the passer. That one guy does.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see that they, you know, how they handle that. But on top of that, it feels like the pass protection was figured out in some ways. It felt like you sacrificed the ability to run the football.
You did. Yeah.
Not like you were run grading before, but I didn't see any push in that Lions game when it came to this offensive line. And I wonder, is that a trade that you're willing to make in this moment?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
Really? The idea of not being able to...
I mean...
Because I do feel like the explosives are what's been getting the run game over.
Nico might be a big factor there. But
I also think it's like not having a Lions team, not having a team opposed from you that is like super diligent and super disciplined like the Lions are. Because I think that was what stopped explosives for Joe Mixon. The places where he goes to bounce to is taking advantage of like that, maybe like lack of discipline or like maybe over helping towards the, you know, the hole. And then he bounces out and he knows that he could find space elsewhere.
Well, I think
felt like he didn't get a lot of that.
I think the reason I'm saying that is I go back to how the bar seems to have been lowered even by Nick Caserio there, because yes, it seemed like they had better pass protection, but again, 4 sacks, 9 pressures. That might be, you know, something that just happens in the NFL, especially against a good defense. You're going to get some pressures. But when you sacrificed your MVP to this point in Joe Mixon, who was averaging less than 2 yards a carry, to me, that's not a good trade-off. You know, like they have to run the ball. They have to. And I know it seems like, well, you know, C.J. Stroud's the guy that's going to, you know, make the big plays with Nico and whomever else, and the explosives, as you talked about. They still have to run the ball if they're going to get, like, what's the goal? You know, the goal is not just, hey, let's get a little better and see what happens. The goal is to get better, good enough to maybe win a playoff game and beyond.
Yeah, but Sam Warren did a great piece in the Houston Chronicle about this and kind of pointed to the idea that it, and this is something we've talked about as well. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been like they've been consistent in running the football. It hasn't been like they're just, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust or anything.
Yeah, they're the big plays.
It's been a few explosives that are broken, and I'm tending to lean into the idea that these were, I mean, some of them were well-blocked plays. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take this entirely away from the offensive line, but a lot of this is Joe Mixon making some shake.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was neutralized by the Lions focusing their attention there. I think it's a trade-off that I'm willing to make, to go back to that question, because wasn't that the game plan last year? Or not game plan, but wasn't
that
kind of
the
way
that you last year
got through last year?
They just couldn't run the ball, and CJ, you know, created plays out of nothing.
Plus, I think that passing the football, like, we've seen teams, and I keep going back to, like, the Patriots of a certain era, where they did not run the ball particularly well. They used the quick passing game as almost a run substitute. I think that's something that can be done. But there has to be a focus towards doing that. There has to be an intention on doing that. But I think that those are things that can be done. And you have players that are showing themselves capable of doing some of those things, especially if the offensive line can hold up better, right? I know you mentioned the four sacks and the pressures as well. But that also represented a step forward, as sad as
twice as good in terms of sacks.
And so, yeah, I do think that that's a trade-off that I'm willing to make, especially knowing that Joe Mixon will probably break one here or there.
Let's keep this in mind, though, when we talk about what this team was last year. It was this. It was a team that couldn't run the ball, and C.J. Stroud pulled stuff out of, you know, air to make it happen. So what did they do? They said, we got to fix the line. What were we talking about? Got to get better line play.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're that exact same team again.
Right. And
that's why I'm like, I don't know if I'm willing to make that trade.
I hear you.
He's been hit more than any quarterback in the NFL.
But that trade also comes at, like, if you don't make that trade, you go back to real poor pass protection, and then being able to run the football to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And not even consistently, but also just explosives here and there.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the tough thing with the trade. So if you are in the place that you were prior last year, I think that you go with what worked last year and you kind of operate it that way. But one of the things that makes me confident in that potential trade-off is, like, I think that you've seen a level of progress. Some of your wide receivers, John Metchie had a fantastic game in that. And John Metchie, who will join the drive at 2:15, Nick Caserio was talking about John Metchie and his development and the breakout game versus the Lions.
When you really look at the arc of sort of this season, so had a good training camp, had a good preseason, played well. I think it was either the Giants or the Rams. I can't remember which game, but had a lot of production. Yeah. And then he's actually been open a lot when he's played. And the other night, the ball found him, and he took advantage of some opportunities, made a number of contested catches. But he's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. I think natural tendency is frustration maybe start to build a little bit because you just want to be able to contribute. But he never lost sight of the ultimate goal, just trying to help the team. And when called upon, he took advantage of opportunity, and he helped us offensively and made a number of plays. Really a credit to him, his attitude, I would say his demeanor, his mindset, and the work that, you know, Coach McDaniel is done with him as well. So hopefully it's a good starting point. But I think when you go back and look, it really started in the spring, carried over into training camp, and then when you carry that over into the regular season, now you're starting to see some of the fruits of your labor. Anytime that happens, you're happy for the player, and now you just want to see that continue moving forward.
You woke up one morning and all of a sudden John Metchie became a really integral part, crucial part of what the Texans could do moving forward. It happened quickly, right?
Yeah, especially because of that separation. I think that's the big thing. And that was the thing that it felt like you were going to miss by losing, you know, Stephon Diggs and losing Nico Collins. Now Nico Collins has the opportunity to come back. I think we should see him come back. We'll see what practices look like. But I've gotten away from the place where I'm going to go ahead and crown things ahead of time. I would like to go through the process of this, but so I'm not wrong again. But having guys that can kind of find that separation and give C.J. Stroud somewhere to throw the football is going to be super helpful. And that game against the Lions gave me some confidence that John Metchie will be one of those guys, especially along with Nico Collins and then Tank Dell. If you have those three guys, I feel confident about their ability to get open, their ability to run these routes in such a way that will allow them to have separation. And that, with some better pass protection, with C.J. maybe finding a level of calm back there behind his line, I think that can be dangerous to opposing teams.
Yeah, and during preseason and training camp, I mean, this is one of the reasons that, I kept, you know, having fingers crossed with John Metchie and was confident that he might do something. He actually looked pretty dang good. We talked about it a lot. Like it's just like, wow, look at Metchie. He's making, you know, making this play and that play. Just didn't translate to the regular season. And so now he's crucial.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was the general manager, Nick Caserio, Texans All Access, talking about the offense. Hopefully, against this Dallas Cowboys team that, you know, is pretty woeful, is pretty battered. They're getting some guys back, though, slowly. But hopefully this offense can find a way to find that consistency, as that feels like that's going to be a watchword.
Yes,
find a little bit of consistency all the way through a full 48 minutes of football. Or, sorry, 60 minutes of football. Yeah. Went to basketball, 48 minutes, 60 minutes of football on Monday night. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And around this time, we will always give you our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We do that now.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions. I woke up this morning, Figgy, and
congratulations.
Hey, you're welcome. thank you.
Did you thank the Lord?
Yes, just another beautiful day on the green side of the grass.
Thank you.
But also, I realized why I think Mike Tyson might lose this fight.
Uh-oh. Okay.
So, didn't even work out yesterday, just kind of did some stuff around the house. Nothing, you know, didn't, you know, bump into anything or fall or you know, have any sort of traumatic little thing happen to me. And I had this...
Didn't get in a fight?
Didn't get in a fight.
Okay.
And I had this shooting pain in my hip that just occurred. It just happened. Like, I didn't do... There's no reason for me to have this, and I'm sure you might have noticed already, guys, but, you know, I always cross my legs to stretch my back. You know, I'm always crossing my legs because I always stretch my back. Well, that's one thing. And now it's hard to cross my legs today because I have this amazing shooting pain in my hip that came out of nowhere, like for no reason. And I realized that's what happens, man.
It just break down to break down.
That's what happens, good reason. Man.
Just imagine trying to get in a ring at your age.
No. No, thank you. But I'm like, I think I'm what, 3-4 years older than 4 years
older
than...
Why are you asking me like I'm supposed to be?
Come on. Just, how old are you?
How old am I?
I was going to ask.
How old do you think I am?
See, that's why it's not even worth it. It wasn't worth it. I was just like, whatever you say, three,
62.
Years?
I'm 62.
Okay.
And he's 58.
Correct.
Okay. And I woke up this morning and said, that's what happens. That's why he could easily, like, you get into your mid-50s and beyond, and it's just like, for no reason whatsoever, you get a pain.
Yeah,
like a
iron,
real pain.
He's Iron Mike, though.
Doesn't matter. Time is undefeated.
Yeah, I'm about to say Father Time.
Undefeated. I think he might lose, and it has to do with how I woke up.
It wouldn't surprise me if he lost, though, man, because a lot of people, I mean, we always look at athletes that's so in shape. Like, once in a while, you'll see Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he could probably still play. Nah, he can't.
Hell, D'Amico.
Yeah.
He looks as good as he ever has. I don't think he could play.
Nah, yeah. It's different once you get into that.
And he's younger.
Ring. Yeah. It's different once you get into that ring or that field.
So Mike Tyson might lose this fight, and I realize that because I got a shooting pain in my hip for no reason.
I mean, he's been out here training, but yeah, I guess you fight someone 31 years, you're junior, and you... What happens if he just wakes up tomorrow and is not feeling...
And he has a pain in his hip.
Well, I guess he's not going to be doing a lot of moving. Go ahead and rope-a-dope a little bit or something.
Yeah.
So I was reading the Houston Chronicle as a Houstonian that likes being in the know will do. And a couple of days ago, I came across this new venture that apparently is popping up in three Texas cities.
Okay.
It is a rideshare service with armed drivers. So it's basically like Uber or Lyft, but your driver
got
that
heat.
Got that thing. Yes, sir. It's apparently it's called Black Wolf. It's a small rice. Why y'all laughing?
Is this real?
That sounds like a Texas thing.
I am reading this from the Houston Chronicle.
That sounds like a Texas thing.
Well, it's going to be here.
Wolf.
So it's a small ride share startup and self-proclaimed people-driven business has popped up on social media. And the idea came from one of their clients that they were transporting, was supposedly caught in human trafficking. She said, you know, create something that, you know, keeps people safe. And I'm just like, I love the idea of like people feeling safe in the car.
Yeah.
But this is going to go wrong, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Like, there's just,
of course it is.
There is a thing in the car at in every one of the cars that you get in. Somebody's doing something stupid in there.
Yes,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
are. Yeah, nah, that's, yeah. I mean, I like the effort, but this is not a good idea. This is kind of like when they try to bring up teachers should be armed.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, like, I understand, you know, the bad situations happen, and if a teacher was armed, it could prevent, you know, some bad things, but that's not the best
idea. I'm not even doing the math on, like, how many of the bad things are going to pop up versus, like, just more good things. Like, I'm not even doing the math on that. This is simply, oh, I can see how that goes wrong, right? Like, we're all in the same place on seeing how that goes wrong, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't hate a lot of things, but the one thing I hate, especially around this place for our job, and I'm talking to Odyssey, is these freaking two-factor login processes.
Oh,
my God. So this had nothing to do with y'all. Reggie is off the hook now since he's not a producer. And so we have a process of uploading our podcast now. And it's a new system. And they just added that two-factor login process. Just like, man, y'all making me take more time uploading the podcast for the people, man.
Yeah, so people need it as soon as possible.
Yeah, so yeah, they started it today. I logged in.
Where?
This ain't got nothing to do with you.
Oh, okay.
This is it might. It might.
Eventually.
It might, because they're
unless you upload your own stuff with this system, then it will.
Well, the reason why I say it might, Fig, is, you know, companies do the two-factor authentication to make sure that, you know, people can't hack in or at least make it harder. And I've seen the way that Lopez clicks on things in his email.
Hey.
they might have been like, hey, man, we don't trust these dudes to not pick up a virus or something.
The Lopez rule.
Just go ahead and authenticate everything, man.
Yeah, but, man, I hate that. And look, I understand for the emails because you don't want nobody hacking the emails, stuff like this. Who's trying to hack into the podcast system?
I'm gonna upload fake podcasts.
Yeah. Like who doing that?
I'm gonna do
man?
A bogus podcast.
Yeah, so I had to stop here. I had to jump on my phone to hit.
Oh, they send you the code.
Yeah,
and all.
I'm just like, man, come on now. Y'all making it hard, man.
Well,
hey,
the world we live in. Watch this.
Oh yeah, by the way, I got to update my password.
Ah, see, now that's the one that gets me.
I feel like I just did that.
That's the one that gets me.
Now I got 6 days.
They
do it
like every 60 days or whatever.
How safe are we really if I can't remember my password?
It feels like 15 days.
Yeah. All right, Figgy. I'm talking to you on this one because you gave me the hardest time. I hate to admit it. I have to confess.
Okay.
I'm going to see Christmas Lights tonight.
Yay!
This is Christmas.
It's the worst.
No, it's not.
You gotta do it after Thanksgiving. But when you get free tickets to Zoo Lights at the Houston Zoo, you go. Right?
You going with the grandkids? You going to grandkids, right?
Yeah.
See?
You gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go. But yeah, it just feels dirty.
But it's not Christmas.
It's not Christmas.
Thanksgiving hasn't hit yet.
Yes, you got to put the lights up after Thanksgiving. But I'll make an exception tonight. Zoo Lights is awesome. By the way, unsolicited, you know, endorsement here. It's fantastic.
Zoo Lights is awesome.
Yeah.
And also, Sugarland, they pretty much deck out their whole field with all type of Christmas lights and all that stuff. It's a nice little date night, man.
Yeah.
If you want to just kind of go get out the house a little bit, just walk around. It's super cool.
By the way, I'm out of the game, as you well know, for decades. But the zoo is a great first date place.
Oh, I was wondering what you were talking about. Oh, I was really? Like, on lights? You out of the game on lights?
But it took me a second. I'm out of the game on dating? Yeah.
Yes, you are married. Correct. Yeah, but yeah. Well, although that ain't stopped some people.
because you don't have to, like, sit there for dinner and make you're going watching, you're at the
yeah.
zoo.
Yeah,
you
know? To me, I feel like that's cooler than, like, trying to go to a museum.
Yeah.
Because some people do museums for a first date. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go to a zoo.
Yeah.
Zoo is a fun place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, museum, you be sitting there fronting like you all interested in whatever happened in 1682. Yeah. Like, I don't give a damn about this king or queen, whoever it was. Yeah.
I can feel the artist's pain yes. in the... Yeah.
This, what do you see in this work?
That's a lot.
Oh, this is interesting. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So they had the war here. In, come on, man. You're trying to get the draws, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Oh, wow. 832 said Zoo Lights was their first day with their ex-wife.
Okay, well, it doesn't
I don't
always
know if,
work.
I don't know if that's an endorsement or not.
It doesn't always work.
I don't know how that works. But,
I didn't say it was 100%.
I mentioned the Uber with that thing on you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I might see the downside of that when I went to go get some gas.
Oh, no.
Yesterday.
Oh,
and I pulled up, and it was long lines at this gas station. And that factors in because two cars... thought that one pump was theirs. Both.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
And so you had that classic, somebody was backing in, someone was, driving forward in, and neither of them wanted to acquiesce and mm-hmm. let the other one have the pump. And I was like, oh, it's about
it's
to go
on.
Down.
It's on.
thankfully, it didn't, because, like, one was, like, a family. I think both of them were, like, South Asian folks, right? Yeah. So I was like, I don't know, like, is it going to be fisticuffs or what happens?
Yeah.
But I didn't hear anything, but I saw a whole bunch of stern looks, and thankfully that's as far as it went. But we have heard that things can get testy.
Oh, yeah.
at them fuel pumps. I thought I was about to see it go down in that moment. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. This is different.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the worst feeling, being in a situation you are now a part of.
Yeah.
And look
what do
around,
I do?
And you be like, oh, it's about to go down. Yeah. Not just like a little fight, but like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, do I need to duck and hide? that's scary.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Man, I think my wife and her family have a real issue with my sense of humor. So I sometimes joke around, but I always have a serious face. I don't know what that means. So you know how you kind of joke around and you laugh a little bit? Yeah. I don't really do that. Sometimes I just make a short little comment.
Yeah.
And they just be like, oh, Edward is so wrong for that.
Yeah.
And they just like hold it over my head. I'm like, it wasn't even that funny.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a comment in passing. So this is, I'm going to name a couple things that happened where mm-hmm. they still hold it over my head. So my wife, we was walking through Target, walked through the clothes part. And it was an outfit mm-hmm. sitting there. And for those who don't know, my wife is on the plus size.
Mm-hmm.
And this outfit was small. It was clearly geared to her. Somebody said,
why'd you do
don't
this?
Do
skinny.
It.
Why'd you do this?
Don't
she
do it.
And
don't
she picked
tell
it
me.
Up. She said, this is cute. I'm like, okay, yeah. Look like your size. It just kept going. She was laughing at the time, but she was so mad.
Yeah.
She like, come, like, that ain't even the point. I didn't say it was cute.
You had to do that.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? That's an off-limits joke, even. That's an off-limits
joke. We kind of joke
Wait,
around.
Wait, Lopez is saying it's off-limits?
Yes.
Wow.
About your girl's size?
Yeah, we kind of joke around like that.
I hope.
Yeah, and then there was...
You did say that you got food poisoning one time she cooked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to put some things together. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. It was another time, too. And this, I wasn't even talking about them. This, I guess, another kind of plus-size joke. But I do the photo booth thing.
Mm-hmm.
And often, this is one thing I hate when people do. It'd be somebody that's a little bigger.
Yeah.
They come over to me ready to take a picture. Can you make me look skinny?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, come on. Like, how am I? Like, I ain't got that type of magic.
Wow.
and so they would take a picture and they'd look at the picture and they'd be like, oh, no, you know what? I look kind of fat. Let me try it again.
Yeah.
And then they'll turn like 6 inches to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's better. And I made the comment, not to them, but to my wife. I was explaining this to her. I'm like, yeah, turning 6 inches. Now you look skinny. There you go. And they just think I'm just a total a-hole.
The weight stuff is that's a tough one, man.
Yeah, but sometimes, man, people be sounding so silly, man, when they say stuff like, oh, can you make me look skinny? Like,
They know. They're just trying to have a little fun.
Or they, let me put my shirt down because I look fat. I'm like, oh, okay, you put your shirt down. Now, problem solved. Yeah, problem solved. So they just think I'm being an a-hole.
A32 said that makes them like you more. So there you go. You have supporters in that. That's Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the world of sports and see if you buy or sell what these various sports figures are trying to put in front of you. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just want to remind you again that the drive will have on John Mechie, another one of my Nigerian brethren. 2:15 is when you'll hear from John Mechie with Clint and Ron.
I forgot he was Nigerian.
Honestly, I saw the flag on the back of his helmet during the Lions game, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. And that reminded me. And then, of course, ND Kalu made mention of it earlier. Appreciate him for joining us. In fact, in the next segment, we'll go behind enemy lines. We'll hear from Ryan Broadus of 105 Through the Fan up in Dallas to get a little bit of insight into the Cowboys before the Texans face off against them. But right now, we got some various people or things that have been said in sports. We'll find out if we buy or sell what they're telling us.
Yeah, buy or sell. I'm going to start with this one first, because it was just on the screen. So Aaron Rodgers, he was asked if he wants to play next season. And he said, I think so, yeah. Aaron Rodgers was asked about next season, and he said, I think so, yeah. You buying that? Is he going to play next season?
Well, is he going to play next season, or does he think he's going to play next season, I think, are different
things. Yeah, that's true.
I think he does think he's going to play next season, but that's right now. Aaron Rodgers seems to me like a dude that plans his life about a month in advance.
Yeah.
Like he's one of those dudes that you know the guys that are the folks that, you know, work like a service job where they put up the schedule every 2 weeks at a time, and they live their lives 2 weeks at a time. That's how it feels like worst, Aaron Rodgers lives. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has his plan for his next vacation.
I can see him retiring, hanging it up during training camp. Right before training camp,
yeah,
and just throw a whole organization off.
The answer just is what got me. Because like if I asked you, Reggie, hey, you going to Zoo Lights tonight? And you said, I think so, yeah. That's a no.
You do have to operate that way.
That's a no.
You do have to operate
I think
that
so.
Way.
Yeah.
Or just imagine you ask, hey, Reggie, are you coming back to do the show ever again? Yeah, I think so.
I don't like how I'm being targeted here, because I feel like I'm the one on this show most likely to give that kind of answer.
I think so.
But oftentimes, if I say I think so, it really does mean I think so. It's just we'll have to figure that out later.
Yeah.
But
so you're buying? You're both.
I'll sell it. He's
sell.
He's not coming back, man. That thing fell apart so quick.
He ain't coming back. I'm selling as well. Figure you.
I'm buying it.
You're buying it.
Yeah, I think
he just can't quit.
I think he's gonna try one more time.
Yeah. All right, buy or sell. Let's get D'Amico on the buy or sell block here.
Welcome to the show, D'Amico.
Welcome. So this is what he said about Titus, and was Titus taking the ball away from C.J. Stroud?
With that play, it was to start the play, we had an issue with the cadence. We all weren't on the same page with the cadence. A guy got off the ball quick. We were late off the ball, and they were able to get the sack on CJ. And I'm not sure what happened. From my perspective, it looked like Titus was just trying to make sure he held CJ. And it's just something that, he wasn't trying to take the ball. I would say, if you're speculating there, he wasn't trying to take the football. He's just trying to protect CJ.
Wasn't trying to take the ball. You buying that or selling it?
I buy that. I've been one of the...
You've been adamant about it.
I have been adamant about it. He wasn't trying to take the ball. Now, he did. And that's bad enough, right? That is bad enough that you actually did it. You had a problem on the play. You end up being way out of position. You kind of give up. And then you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold this man up. I'm just going to hold him up. And then you strip the football. That's terrible. I don't think he was trying to, though. Like, there was enough incompetence on the play that we don't have to then take it to the furthest extent that he was actively trying to take the ball from his quarterback.
Yeah, I'm buying it, too.
You guys are suckers.
I just don't understand, like, if that was the plan in Titus Howard's head to let me take this ball away from the quarterback. I don't... I buy it.
I'm stuck on the double take that happened when the ball actually popped out. Because if he was trying to take the football out, when the ball pops out,
he couldn't get grab it.
You don't have that. Wait, what happened? Like you could almost see it on the TV copy that his head just goes like, whoa, what just happened?
I am selling it because partially because of what you said. It didn't. I don't think he was taking the ball, except that he took the ball. You know, but here's the other part. I think his intention was to hold up. You know, CJ Stroud.
Yes.
And then in the course of that, he said, well, screw it. This is my chance. Because he literally, and I've told you this a couple times, he had his hands on CJ's arms or whatever, and then he turned them and, like, squeezed down on the ball. That's trying to take the ball in my book. You know? So I am selling.
The beautiful part about this, buy or sell, is no matter whether you say buy or sell, we can all agree that was nonsense.
That was nonsense.
That was absolute, like, on national TV, that's embarrassing.
Yes. Sunday night football. In front of everybody. Only game in town.
Not only did you get beat, but you ended up stripping your quarterback.
Yeah, like everybody saw it. Everybody saw it.
And he got pummeled on Twitter.
There's no way it gets to like anywhere near like butt fumble, right? But like, no, is that something that, this is something that people are going to remember, right? Like this is going to be meme.
This would have been on not top 10 plays of SportsCenter.
For sure.
Oh, man. We really have been, things have been taken from us as a society.
Yeah. I'm just glad we lived through it.
Man, I miss not top 10.
What was that one? Was it lit up? No, it was
jacked up.
Yeah, no, we with our new sensibilities on hits and head injuries and stuff, jacked up just can't exist in our current
era. Or he probably would have been on
Come on, man. As Monday Night Football.
He absolutely would have been on that.
He might be on there.
Yeah. I need to go back to Monday Night Football's broadcast to see if they did that. Well,
come on, man. If they're still doing it. Taking the ball from your quarterback.
Yeah. All right, buy or sell. So let's talk about the Astrodome Conservancy one.
Here we go.
I did some homework on this.
I
did some work on this last night, just kind of following up. And then, so Phoebe Tudor, who I mentioned yesterday, who heads up the Astrodome Conservancy, actually answered some questions about this. I guess it was during or late in our show, but she answered some questions and said that her plan, which, by the way, did not get any endorsement or support from Harris County, the rodeo, or the Texans, just as I said yesterday, she said it can still, quote, stand alone even without that support.
Houseway.
That this plan can stand alone even if the three most important tenants there
and supposedly who
don't support it.
Supposedly who you're doing this for in some ways?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. She said, oh, I can stand alone. What? Yeah. I think you know my answer.
Yeah, I'm selling that. Yeah.
You're selling, Mortimer.
Well, that's right. Ridiculous.
I still have just not been able to get past the, like, you got renderings and all these things, but the actual pitch does not make sense.
No.
Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to, you know, separate it into four things in there, and it's a whole bunch of revenue generating space. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant, right? Like,
anybody can say that.
We're just going to make money in there.
Yeah.
How? Like, no duh.
So we're all selling.
Yes. 100%.
You know what I can't get over? And I didn't even think about this until this morning. Like, the fact that they had these nice round numbers. It's $1 billion to do it. And we've raised $3 million. Have you? And by the way, I wouldn't be bragging about raising $3 million already or having commitments or whatever. That's the equivalent of me saying, I would like to raise $100,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I got $300 so far.
We're cooking.
Yeah.
That's the percentage.
Cooking with grease.
Yeah.
Or, hey, I need $100, but I got 10 cents. I got 10 cents.
Yeah. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. You know? So I feel like we got to be
It's $1 billion. Hey, man, we got commitments for $3 million.
We done started. Right.
Got to start somewhere. All right. How about this? Caleb Williams, been in the news a little bit. He spoke yesterday, and he said that he thinks, quote, he has full support from teammates.
Ooh, that's a sell.
Sell.
I mean, full support from teammates.
And maybe you have full support in certain instances, like where folks want you to be the best human that you could be and all those. Mm-hmm. But as far as, man, you don't get as far as this being reported that players went to the coach to try and get you out your job without there being a lack of full support.
Yeah.
Like, that does not happen where people are like, yo, we went to go get that man benched.
For a guy that I don't even know nothing about that guy they was trying to get to start.
Yeah.
Like, man.
Bage is one of those dudes that, like, has had to start at one point, and he was like, this is better than we thought it would be, right? Like, this is not terrible. Yeah. That's Tyson Bagent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm selling this too, man. Like, I almost said the Cowboys. I almost went Reggie.
Oh, you can, look, the helmet's here.
I know.
The
I
helmet's here. We're going to donate the proceeds to a good cause. Go ahead and get your dollar in there.
Chicago was that love fest team this offseason.
Yeah, they were.
So it wasn't like an up-and-coming team or anything. Like, they had some standards. People had them winning over 10 games for some damn reason.
Yeah.
And they're playing like this. Those players came there to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, nah, it don't surprise me at all.
Also, on top of this, they're not going to tell you that they don't have your full support, though.
No, exactly. That's why I'm
saying. Hey, Caleb,
well,
I'm not supporting you.
Hey, I got your support? Sure.
That would be wild, though.
Sure.
That would be wild, though, if the active starting quarterback of a team, somebody was like, nah, dog.
Nah, I can't support you, man. We talk behind each other backs. Yeah. That's how it go.
Exactly.
Like adults.
Couple more NFL ones here, buying or selling. Anthony Richardson said that he is, quote, low-key glad that he got benched.
I'm going to be the sucker here. I'm buying it.
You could really pick up on all the intricacies of learning after he was benched.
I mean, he just hadn't played nearly enough football. And yes, you could say, and you're probably right in saying, hey, man, you know, just knowing the things that you're supposed to do on a daily basis, you should have. You were sitting there watching various quarterbacks do that, even Gardner Minshew last year after he got hurt, like seeing them kind of go through the process.
Yeah.
And that's what having a veteran player in that locker room should do for you. But sometimes, in the same way that you need a players-only meeting to jar folks into that space, seems like that man needed a level of jarring into it. Is that going to go well for them? Probably not. Right? Yeah. It's probably not a good sign that he needed that. That's the opportunity. But he seems to be, at least in life, like in a good like headspace. And so the idea that I was not doing the things the way that I needed to.
Yeah.
And so bench sitting for a couple of weeks and getting a better perspective, that helps. Are they actually going to be good? Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm buying this, too, because I felt like he probably had a wake-up type of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, I need to get myself together. This could have easily been taken away from me.
Yeah.
Like, taken away from me. So, yeah, maybe I needed this to possibly get in shape. I don't even know if he's in shape or what for him trying to, you know, patting his head to need a breather.
Yeah.
So maybe this was a wake-up call for him to get benched so he can maybe, suck a little more, I guess.
I think you both make good points there, but I am going to sell. Simply, this strikes me as like
sell.
Something bad happens in your life and your mama tells you, you know what, it'll probably end up being for the best.
Trust the process,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
And you're like, I don't feel that right now.
979 said Anthony Richardson is too dumb to lie about it. I'm buying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
Damn.
He's not dumb. He's not good.
That's not what the 979
But said. He's not dumb.
on the 5-hour energy fan line. That's what they said, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to do the other quick one real here?
Real quick? If you'd like to.
Just real quick, because I know we got to get to Brian Broaddus. But Giants general manager Joe Shane says the Giants are, quote, not far off from winning. they're not far. They're close. They're right there, Figgy. They're right there.
Selling, Mortimer.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Like winning an individual game?
I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Are you talking about some Daryl Morey winning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
We actually won.
Yeah, if you look at this box score and you squint and you turn it to the left.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go behind the enemy lines, talk to Brian Broaddus, 105 Through the Fan in Dallas. Get a little insight into the Cowboys before the Monday night football game. We'll do it next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.